the book of Genesis.
تعرفين إن حياة يعقوب مذكورة بالتفصيل في سفر التكوين.
In the book of Genesis, we read there of 8 outstanding characters.
وبنعرف في سفر التكوين عن شخصيات كثيرة.
8 outstanding characters.
8 مشهورين.
There's Adam.
Adam.
Abel.
وهابيل.
Enoch.
وأخنوخ.
Noah.
ونوح.
Abraham.
وإبراهيم.
Isaac.
وإسحاق.
Jacob.
يعقوب.
And the eighth is Joseph.
ونمرة 8 يوسف.
We know that the number 8 in Scripture represents fullness or a completeness.
عارفين إن رقم 8 في الكتاب بيعبر عن الكمال.
And it's not a coincidence that Joseph is the eighth.
ومش بالصدفة إن يوسف يجي نمرة 8.
That is to say in type. That is to say in type. So Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus.
ده عشان يقول إن يوسف مثال للرب يسوع.
He is the fullness or the completeness of all the will of God in him.
كل إرادة الله تكملت في حياة يوسف.
That's why we see that Joseph is the last character that we find in the book of Genesis.
عشان كده بنلاقي ان يوسف ده آخر شخصية في سفر التكوين.
Out of these 8 characters, we see that there are 4 characters which are of particular interest.
من الثمان شخصيات بنلاقي 4 شخصيات فيها نوعية خاصة.
God has given them physical indicators or physical markers in their lives.
إداهم الرب يعني علامات خاصة في حياتهم في حياة الجسد.
We're able to have a look at these markers and we can glean spiritual benefit for our own lives.
ممكن نبص على العلامات دي ونستفيد منها في حياتنا الروحية.
Jacob is one of these 8 characters.
يعقوب واحد من الشخصيات دي.
He's also one of these 4 characters which has these physical indicators or markers.
ده واحد من الأربع شخصيات اللي ليهم يعني بيان أو شخصي أو في حياتهم الجسدية.
For example, Abraham built 4 altars.
بالمثال مثلا نرى أن إبراهيم بنى 4 مذابح.
Isaac dug out 4 wells.
إسحاق حفر 4 آبار.
And Jacob set up 4 pillars.
ويعقوب حط 4 أعمدة.
And we read finally of Joseph, he wore 4 garments.
ونلاقي كمان يوسف لبس 4 ملابس أو.
For example, if you think of the life of Abraham.
لما نبص في حياة إبراهيم على سبيل المثال.
We're able to see that the first altar that he built was after God had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees.
لما لقي أول مذبح بناء لما الرب دعاه من أور الكلدانيين.
God said to him, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your relatives.
أنا عايزك تترك بيتك وعشيرتك.
And I want to send you to a land that you've never been to before.
هبعتك لأرض ما وجدتش فيها قبل كده ما شفتهاش قبل كده.
As soon as he arrived in Shechem, which was in the land of Canaan.
لما وصل لشكيم اللي هي في أرض كنعان.
He built his first altar.
بنى أول مذبح.
And it shows to us there for the believer that the basis of our communion, that's what the altar speaks about.
ودي بتورينا كمؤمنين ان اول مذبح اتبنى هو يعني بيمثل شركتنا مع بعض.
It's on the basis of trusting and obeying God.
انها علاقة التأكيد الطاعة للرب.
And then we read that soon after he went down to another place and that was somewhere between Bethel and Ai.
لما راح للمرحلة الثانية وانتقل من بيت إيل إلى عاي.
He built his second altar there.
بنى المذبح الثاني.
If you look in Genesis chapter 12, just so I make it easier. Yeah. And verse 8. Yeah. So he builds his second altar somewhere between Bethel and Ai.
بنى البيت الثاني ما بين بيت إيل وعاي زي ما قلت.
And then a famine came to the land.
بعد كده حصل جوع مجاعة حصلت.
Abraham had this dilemma. God had said to him, I want you to be in this land, in the land of Canaan.
طبعا إبراهيم اتحير ليه هو موجود في الأرض دي اللي قال له عليها الرب.
But then in verse 10 we read, now there was a famine in the land and Abraham went down into Egypt.
لما نوصل لعدد 10 في تكوين 12 ان هو انحدر ابراهيم لارض مصر.
He not only went down physically but he also went down spiritually.
من ما نزلش بس او انحدر بالجسد لكن انحدر ايضا روحيا.
He was no longer in the center of God's will.
ما كانش في اراده الله في محضر الله.
When he was in Egypt you remember he told half a truth half a lie.
فاكرين لما راح مصر ابتدى قال نص كذب ونص صح.
He got himself into all sorts of problems and had God not intervened into the situation we would never have heard about Abraham again.
لو رب ما دخلش في الوضع اللي حط نفسه فيه ابراهيم في المشاكل اللي حط نفسه فيها ما كناش نسمع عن ابراهيم مره ثانيه.
Then we read that God brought him back up out of that situation.
بعد كده بنقرا ان الرب اخرجه من الموضوع ده من الوضع دهون.
Chapter 13 and verse 1 we read that Abraham went up from Egypt.
نقرا في اصحاح 13 صعد ابراهيم من مصر هو وامراته.
Verse 3 and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning.
وصار في رحلاته من الجنوب الى بيت إيل الى المكان الذي كانت خيمته فيه في البدايه يعني من حيث ابتدى.
And we often see that in our own life. That when we fall from the place of communion, when we fall from the place of fellowship with our Lord,
لما بنشوف ده في حياتنا احنا الشخصية لما بنبعد عن الرب أو نبعد عن مكان الشركة مع الرب,
and God will restore us.
والرب يرجعنا مرة تاني.
Where does He take us back to?
هياخدنا فين تاني لإيه?
He takes us back to the same place where we were. Where he wanted us to be in the center of his will.
هاخدنا للمكان اللي عايزنا او اللي هو حابب ان نوجد فيه واحنا في محل ارادته ومشيئته.
After this altar that he built here, another problem came into his life between him and his nephew.
حصل بعد المذبح دون ان في مشكله ثانيه حصلت في حياته بينه وبين ابن اخوه.
Rather than Lot being satisfied, his nephew Lot being satisfied, being close or nearby to his uncle Abraham.
بدل ما لوط كان يبقى مبسوط إن هو عايش قريب من إبراهيم اللي هو عمه.
Abraham gave him all liberty and he said, "You choose for yourself a place that you can stay."
إدى إبراهيم الحرية إن يختار لنفسه أي مكان.
And then we read that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plains that were well watered towards where? Towards Sodom.
لما لوط رفع عينيه شاف الأرض اللي هي دائرة الأردن أرض سدوم.
Lot chose with his eyes.
لوط اختار بعينيه.
But for the believer, he's not to walk by sight, but by faith.
لكن المؤمن مشفروض مش يسلك بالعيان لكن يسلك بالإيمان.
Abraham didn't choose for himself. He allowed God to choose for himself.
إبراهيم ما اختارش نفسه لكن ترك الرب يختار له.
Where does he go?
راح فين?
He knows that he should not now leave the land of Canaan.
هو كان عارف ان هو مش مفروض يسيب أرض كنعان.
So he moves to a place called Mamre.
لكن مر لمكان تاني اللي هو
18, the last episode.
18, 13, or 18.
He went to the place of Mamre, and Mamre had these large trees there.
في بلطات مرة في أشجار كبيرة.
Indicating it was a place of rest.
طبعا ده بيبين إن ده مكان كان مكان للراحة.
But then there's a fourth altar that Abraham builds in his life.
بعد كده في المذبح الرابع اللي بناه إبراهيم في حياته.
It was a place of deep spiritual significance.
ده لي مكانة روحية عميقة.
God one day appears to Abraham.
في يوم ظهر الرب لإبراهيم.
And he says to him, I want you to take your son, your one and only son.
قال له أنا عايزك تاخد ابنك ابنك وحيدك.
I want you to go to the land of Moriah.
عايزك تروح لأرض مورايا.
And I want you to sacrifice him for me.
وتقدمه ذبيحة.
And we know the story.
احنا عارفين طبعا القصة.
That before he was ready to slay his son.
قبل ما يمد ايده ويذبح ابنه.
God said to Abraham to stop, to wait.
الرب قال له انتظر وقف.
He could see that Abraham had surrendered completely everything to him.
كان واضح للرب ان ابراهيم قدم كل حاجة يعني سلم تسليم كامل للرب.
His only son who he had waited so long for.
ابنه اللي انتظر مدة طويلة علشان يجي له.
He was willing to lay him on the altar and to give him or offer him up as a sacrifice.
ما كانش عنده مانع انه يحطه على المذبح ويقدمه ذبيحة.
What God prevented Abraham from doing.
ايه اللي الرب منع ابراهيم من انه يعمله؟
It would be a foreshadow of God sending His one and only begotten Son.
ده بيورينا يعني صورة إزاي أن الله قدم ابنه وحيده.
On a mountain outside of Jerusalem called Calvary.
في جبل برا أورشليم جبل جلجسة.
Where there God would not hold back His hand.
الله ما منحش إيده ما لم يمسك يده.
And there he would slay his very own son
وذبح ابنه الوحيد
for your sins and my sins.
من أجل خطاياي ومن أجل خطاياك.
So these are the four altars which Abraham built.
دي الأربع مذابح اللي بناها إبراهيم.
But then we read about Isaac and how Isaac dug out four wells.
بعد كده بنقرأ عن إسحاق وإزاي إسحاق حفر أربع أبار.
I want you to notice in Genesis in chapter 26.
في تكوين 26.
In verse 17 we read this. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there.
فمضى إسحاق من هناك ونزل في وادي جرار وأقام هناك.
And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them.
فعاد إسحاق ونبش أبار الماء التي حفروها في أيام إبراهيم أبيه وطمها الفلسطينيون بعد موت أبيه. ودعاها بأسماء كالأسماء التي دعاها بها أبوه.
I want to show you here the footsteps in which Isaac had walked in.
عزيزة أوريكم هنا الخطوات اللي مشي فيها إسحاق.
Did he do something new?
هل هو عمل حاجة جديدة?
Was he trying to invent something new?
هل هو بيخترع حاجة جديدة?
Was he trying to exceed his father's faith, Abraham?
هل هو كان عايز يبقى عنده إيمان أكتر من إيمان أبوه إبراهيم?
No, but notice, and Isaac dug again the wells of water which were in the days of Abraham, his father.
لكن نلاقي هنا مكتوب إنه هو حفر الأبار اللي حفرها أبوه إبراهيم.
We know that the wells of water here, they signify or symbolize, they speak of the new life, the spiritual life.
عارفين إن أبار المية بتبين الحياة الجديدة مثل للحياة الجديدة.
And we can see here that the Philistines had stopped them up. They buried him in.
ونلاقي هنا إن الفلسطينيين طمروا هذه الأبار.
And the Philistines are a type of or speak of the flesh.
وطبعا الفلسطينيين بيتكلموا عن الجسد اللي فينا.
You know that in Galatians in chapter 5 we read there how it is that the spirit wars against or lusts against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit.
عارفين ان في غلاطيا 5 ازاي ان الجسد يشتهي ضد الروح والروح ضد الجسد.
But we see here how it was that Isaac was able to walk in the same faith, the same footsteps in which his father Abraham had walked in.
لكن هنا بنشوف ازاي اسحاق قدر يمشي في نفس خطوات ابو ابراهيم.
Abraham, we're told, believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
ابراهيم امن بالرب فحسب له برا.
What is it that we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to come up with some new program to be able to excite new congregants to come to the meeting?
هل احنا مفروض نعمل برامج جديده علشان خاطر الناس تنبسط وتيجي للاجتماع؟
Are we to invite and to somehow change the meeting so that it becomes more dynamic and more exciting?
ولا نخلي الاجتماعات تبقى فيها نشاطات اكتر وفيها حركه اكتر؟
No, what's called upon us is to walk in the faith, to follow in the footsteps of those that have gone before us.
لكن على العكس احنا لازم نمشي في خطوات الناس اللي سبقونا في الايمان.
We read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, the very first verse. We all know it and I'm sure we've memorized it.
هنقرا في كورنثوس الاولى اصحاح 11 العدد الاول وكلنا بنفتكر العدد دون.
Before the subject of headship and head covering and the Lord's Supper is discussed, notice the first verse that is written there by the Holy Spirit.
قبل ما اتكلم عن غطاء الرأس وعن المائدة بيتكلم عن الموضوع دون.
Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ.
بيقول تمثلوا بي كما أنا بالمسيح.
This is exactly what Isaac did.
ده بالضبط اللي عمله إسحاق.
He followed the faith of his father Abraham.
هو اتبع إيمان إبراهيم.
If I see that the faith of my brother Paul is one which is likened to what is described in the scriptures.
لو شفت أخويا بول
or John or a particular
أو أي
sister.
واحد أو أخ أو أخت ماشي في هذه خطوات الإيمان.
I'm to imitate that faith in as much as it imitates Christ's life.
لما أتمثل بكما كنت بتمثل بالمسيح.
And if we just simply, because obviously I just don't have the luxury of time.
أنا طبعا ما عنديش الوقت المناسب لكن بسرعة.
I want to come back to Jacob, but let's just go to the four garments in which Joseph wore.
عايز أتكلم عن يعقوب بس خلينا نشوف الأول الأربع ملابس اللي لبسها يوسف.
You remember the
أردية.
You remember the story. He was 17 years old, Joseph.
يوسف كان عمره 17 سنة.
And his father had made for him a garment or a coat of many colors.
وطبعا عمل له ابوه غطاء ملون او رداء ملون.
That's the first garment he wore.
دي اول رداء لبسه.
And you can see the difference in the life of Joseph as opposed to his brethren, his brothers.
وطبعا شايفين احنا بنعرف الفرق بين حياته وبين حياه اخواته.
Remember, Joseph had brought a bad report to their father Jacob.
And يوسف كان بيدي اخبار عن الامور الرديه اللي كانوا بيعملوها اخواته.
Well, one day Jacob said to Joseph, I want you to go and see how it is that your brothers are doing while they're tending to the sheep.
طبعا في يوم عارفين القصه ان يعقوب قال ليوسف روح وشوف افتقد سلامه اخواتك.
His brothers, as soon as they could see him from afar off,
اخواته كانوا شايفينه من بعيد وهو جاي.
They planned and they conspired to initially kill him. The first thing they did was they stripped him of the first garment that was given to him. They threw him in a pit. They killed an animal. Then they showed it to his father Jacob and they said, do you recognize it?
وطبعا عارفين ادوا القميص الملون بالدم لابوه قالوا له انت عارف القميص ده بتاع مين.
Notice here that it was the children of Jacob that were deceiving their father.
وطبعا كانوا بيضحكوا على ابوهم او بيخدعوا ابوهم.
Even though their father Jacob did not know this, he experienced this once before when he deceived his own father Isaac in pretending to be Esau.
طبعا انتوا عارفين ان يعقوب عمل نفس الحكايه خدع ابو اسحاق علشان ياخذ البركه.
There's an old spiritual principle.
في يعني خبره روحيه قديمه.
Whatever it is that you sow in life, that you will reap.
اللي بتزرعه في حياتك هتحصده.
And this is exactly what had happened to Jacob.
وده اللي حصل بالضبط ليعقوب.
That was the first garment that Joseph wore.
ده الرداء الأول اللي لبسه يوسف.
Then he was sent, if you remember, he was purchased by Potiphar's house and he served there and he became the manager of all the stewards.
وعارفين بعد كده ان بوتيفار اشتراه وخلى رئيس على كل الخدم بتوعه.
God was favorable towards him.
رب الله طبعا اداله نعمه في عينين بوتيفار.
God blessed him.
وباركه.
And then Potiphar's wife one day cast her longing eyes upon young Joseph.
انتوا عارفين ان مرات بوتيفار نظرت اليه بشهوه واشتهته.
Joseph would not yield to her temptation.
ولم يستسلم يوسف لاغراءاتها.
She went and grabbed him and grabbed his garment.
مسكته من الرداء بتاعه.
Joseph left the garment and ran.
ويوسف ترك الرداء وهرب.
That was the second garment in which he wore.
دي تاني رداء يوسف ارتدى.
Soon after he was placed as a political prisoner in the king's prison.
بعد كده عارفين انه راح للسجن في سجن الملك اسير سياسي.
And no doubt he was given garments there.
ما طبعا ما ادوهوش رداء هناك.
And while he was there also God blessed him.
لكن وهو في السجن الرب باركه.
And you know the story. He was summoned by Pharaoh through the butler who was reinstated.
عارفين القصة ازاي ان الساقي يعني قدم له.
Pharaoh had a dream.
ان فرعون حلم حلم.
God was showing to Pharaoh what he was going to do in the next 14 years.
الرب اداله رؤية اللي هيحصل في 14 سنة اللي جاية.
He dreamed of these seven large cows.
حلم بالأربع بقرات السمان.
They were quite healthy and
السبعة, sorry.
Seven. They were quite healthy and big, a little bit like me.
طبعا كانوا سمان وكبار زي أخونا رومان.
And then he saw seven gaunt or very skinny cows.
وبعد كده شاف سبع بقرات نحاف حلاتي.
Which ate the healthy cows.
لكن النحاف أكلوا البقرات السمان.
Joseph, through the Spirit of God, was able to interpret the meaning of that dream to Pharaoh and those that were present with Pharaoh.
Yeah, من خلال روح الرب قدر يوسف يترجم الحلم أو يدي يفسر الحلم لفرعون.
The interpretation was that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine.
وكانت الترجمة إن أربع سنين هيبقى فيها خير. سبعة وسبع سنين هيبقوا جعاف أو ما فهمش خير.
As soon as Pharaoh could see the wisdom and how the Spirit of God was in Pharaoh.
لما شاف فرعون الحكمة أو روح الله في يوسف.
He did three things.
عمل ثلاث حاجات.
Help me to try and remember them.
He
took his ring. Pharaoh took his ring off. And he placed it on Joseph's hand.
فرعون أخذ الخاتم وإداه ليوسف.
He took a gold chain and placed it around his neck.
وأخذ طوق من الذهب وحطه في عنقه.
The old prison garments were taken off him, and he was clothed with the fourth garment. We read garments of linen.
ألبسه ثياب بيض بدل ثياب السجن أو منبوس.
And they're the four garments in which, and obviously I'm going very quickly through these. These are the four garments which Joseph wore.
ودي رابع رداء يوسف لبسه.
I want to quickly just have a look with you at the four pillars which Jacob set up.
مر بسرعة على الأربع أعمدة اللي أقامها يعقوب أو نصبها يعقوب.
So you can clearly see that these are four sets of four, and you can see how they translate in the book of Genesis.
يعني نقدر نرى بوضوح إن في أربع حالات أو أربع أشياء في حياة كل واحد في سفر التكوين.
There's a lovely verse that we know in Romans. I think it's in chapter 15.
في عدد في روميا.
15.
أعتقد في أصحاح 15.
Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
كل ما كتب كتب لأجل تعليمنا.
So that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
حتى بالصبر والتعزية يكون لنا رجاء.
So we look back.
لما بص لورا.
So that we can walk forward.
نقدر نبص نمشي لقدام.
And this is really why God has given us His word.
ده عشان كده الرب ادانا كلمته.
This is not just a historical narrative.
مش الكتاب عبارة عن قصص موجودة بنقراها.
We look back, we look into these stories.
بنبص للماضي, بنبص للقصص اللي موجودة في الكتاب.
Through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures so that we might have hope.
من خلال الصبر والتعزية عشان يكون لنا رجاء.
I want you to notice the very first pillar in which Jacob had set up.
عايزين نشوف أول عمود نصبه يعقوب.
In Genesis and chapter 28, and we'll just read a few scattered verses from verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now take notice of this. Behold, I am with you, Jacob, and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.
فخرج يعقوب من بئر سبع ذهب نحو حران صادف مكانا وبات هناك لأن الشمس كانت قد غابت وأخذ من حجارة المكان ووضعه تحت رأسه فاتجع في ذلك المكان ورأى حلما وإذا سلم منصوب على الأرض ورأسها يمس السماء وهو ذا ملائكة الله صاعدة ونازلة عليها وهو ذا الرب واقف عليها فقال أنا الرب إلى إبراهيم أبيك وإلى إسحاق الأرض التي أنت مضطجع عليها أعطيها لك ولنسلك ويكون نسلك كتراب الأرض وتمتد غربا وشرقا وشمالا وجنوبا ويتبارك فيك وفي نسلك جميع قبائل الأرض. النقطة اللي ركز عليها الأخ وها أنا معك وأحفظك حيثما تذهب وأردك إلى هذه الأرض لأني لا أتركك حتى أفعل ما كلمتك به.
This was Jacob's first night after having fled from his brother Esau because he deceived him.
بعد ما يعقوب خدع أبوه دي أول حادثة حصلت في حياته بعد ما هرب.
He deceived Esau on two occasions.
هو طبعا خدع أخوه عيسو مرتين.
By buying the birthright,
لما اشترى البكورية,
and then pretending to be Esau so that he would be blessed by his father Isaac.
وبعد كده طبعا عمل نفسه إنه هو عيسو علشان خاطر يأخذ البركة من أبوه.
He had to leave because the anger of his brother was so inflamed that he was going to kill Jacob.
كان لازم يهرب لأن أخوه كان غاضب جدا وكان لازم وفكر بقتله.
This was the first night that he spent away from home.
ده أول مرة يبقى بعيد عن البيت.
I would imagine, not that scripture says this, that he was probably scared, feeling alone, feeling afraid.
طبعا أنا أقدر أتخيل إنه كان خايف, حاسس بالوحدة, مرعوب.
Then God gives him this amazing dream in which he first appears to him. And keep in mind, God spoke to Jacob. He appeared to him 7 times, more than any other biblical character in the Old Testament.
خلي بالنا ان الرب يظهر له والرب ظهر له 7 مرات اكثر من اي شخص ثاني موجود في الكتاب.
And when he appears here to him, He shows to him how it is that God is doing his work here on earth.
لما ظهر له قال له ازاي بين له ازاي ان الله بيعمل عمله على الارض.
We know that the angels are God's ministers, his servants.
عارفين ان الملائكه هم خدام الرب.
And God was showing here to Jacob, don't worry Jacob, don't be afraid.
بيقول له الرب هنا انك انت ما تخافش ما تشغلش بالك يا يعقوب.
My angels are going up and down doing my work.
ملائكتي تصعد وتنزل لتفعل عملي.
Then Jacob wakes up from this dream.
لما فاق من الحلم يعقوب.
He takes that stone that he had used as a pillow.
خد الحجر اللي كان حاطه تحت راسه.
He then sets it up and he transforms it into a pillar.
وحط الحجر وحط حوله إلى عمود.
So that he could make it as a type of memorial.
دائما يكون مكان للذكرى.
Now notice this, verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and he took the stone that he had put at his head. He set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel.
وبكر في عدد 18 يعقوب في الصباح أخذ الحجر الذي وضعه تحت رأسه وأقامه عمودا وصب زيتا على رأسه ودعا اسم ذلك المكان بيت إيل.
That's the first pillar that he set up in his life.
ده أول عمود في حياة يعقوب.
He called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God.
وسمى المكان بيت إيل يعني بيت الله.
In Jacob's mind, he was basically saying, I've come into the presence of God. I've come to the place or the dwelling place of God.
أنا في ذهن يعقوب أنا جيت لمكان الرب لبيت الرب.
He took this pillar and then he pours oil on it.
خد العمود وحط عليه زيت صب عليه زيت.
We know that the oil is a type or a picture of the Holy Spirit.
عارفين طبعا الزيت بيشير إلى الروح القدس.
Because what here had happened to Jacob was a spiritual experience.
اللي حصل ليعقوب هنا كان خبرة روحية.
And then Jacob utters this vow.
ويعقوب ادى الوعد دول.
And often when I read this vow, I get quite frustrated.
والحقيقة لما بقرأ النذر أو اللي قاله يعقوب ما بقدرش يعني أعرفه كويس.
I feel as though, look, God's just shown you something amazing and he's given you these amazing promises. You don't have to make this vow. Why do you go and make this vow?
لما الرب ادالك كل هذه الوعود ليه بتحط النذر الضعيف ده؟
Then we read this in verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in his way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.
من عدد 20 ونظر يعقوب نظرا قائلا إن كان الله معي حفظني في هذا الطريق الذي أنا سائر فيه أعطاني خبزا لآكل وثيابا لألبس ورجعت بسلام إلى بيت أبي يكون الرب لي إلها وهذا الحجر الذي أقمته عمودا يكون بيت الله وكل ما تعطيني فإني أعشره لك.
He starts off his vow with if. If God.
بدأ النذر بتاعه بيقول لو الرب.
God has just promised him that I'm not going to let you go.
الرب كان يعني حالا قال له أنا مش هسيبك.
However, what this vow does here, the reason I believe one of the biggest reasons why the Holy Spirit pens it for us.
لكن النذر اللي نذر يعقوب أول حاجة الروح القدس يقول لنا عليها.
I believe it's so that we're able to see where Jacob is at spiritually.
يورينا فين يعقوب حياته الروحية واصل لغاية فين.
Yes, his vow was weak and it was deficient.
واضح أن النذر اللي نذره يعقوب كان ضعيف جدا ومش حلو.
But we would not have known that had he not uttered this vow.
Sorry.
We would not have known the spiritual condition of Jacob if he had not uttered this vow.
طبعا ما كنتش ممكن نعرف ان الحالة الروحية بتاعته لو ما كانش حط النذر اللي هو نذره ده.
What Jacob wanted to do was to try and prove God in his life by the experiences that he had.
عايز يقول ربنا ان انت يا رب في حياتي بالخبره اللي انا هختبرك بيها.
If God gave him favorable experiences,
لو الرب اداني حاجات كويسه,
then God was favorable to him.
الرب هيكون الهي.
If God did not give him favorable experiences,
لو الرب ما ادانيش حاجه كويسه,
then he was not favorable to him.
الرب مش مهتم بيا.
And there are so many Christians, sadly to say, who live their life on this basis.
في بكل اسف ناس كثيره عايشه على القاعده دي, اذا الرب جاب لي حاجه كويسه يبقى مهتم بيا, ما جابليش يبقى مش مهتم بيا.
If I try and prove God by the experiences that I have in life, it will really be confusing.
لو حبيت ابين الله بالخبره بتاعتي في حياتي هتبقى مشكله الحياه.
In the few years that I've been a Christian,
في السنوات اللي أنا كنت فيها مسيحي,
the experience of life that have taught me,
الخبرة اللي ادتهاني الحياة,
that those usually who are most mature or spiritual in their faith,
الناس اللي عندها خبرة روحية ونضج روحي,
are generally the ones that suffer the most.
هم أكثر ناس بيعانوا في الحياة.
They go through the severest of trials.
بيمروا في تجارب كثيرة.
Problems with their kids, problems with their family, problems with their business.
مشاكل مع الأولاد, مع البيت, مع الشغل.
What here Jacob was asking of God was contrary to the ways of God.
اللي كان بيسأله يعقوب هنا من الله عكس اللي بيعمله الله أو طريق الله طرق الله.
Have a look at the life of our Lord Jesus.
Look, يعني نبص على حياة الرب يسوع.
Was God favorable to the Lord Jesus?
هل الله كان الله بيبص للرب يسوع على أساس إنه بيحبه؟
Who is the express image and the brightness of His glory?
هو صورة الله غير المنظور.
The prophet of old could say that he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
لكن النبي يقول انه رجل احزان ومختبر الحزن, رجل اوجاع ومختبر الحزن.
Peter says that when he was reviled he did not revile in return.
لما لكن بطرس يقول لنا انه لما شتم لم يشتم عوضا.
When he suffered he did not threaten.
لما تألم لم يرد الألم.
But he committed himself to him that is God who judges righteously.
لكن أسلم حياته للرب الذي يحكم على الجميع.
One day someone wanting to be his disciple said, Lord, during his earthly ministry, I'll follow you wherever you go.
مرة واحد حب يبقى تلميذ للرب, قال له يا رب أتبعك حيثما تمشي.
And the Lord Jesus responded, foxes have holes.
الرب رد عليه قال له للثعالب أوجرة.
Birds of the air have their nests.
طيور السماء هذ أبكار.
But the son of man has nowhere to lay his head.
لكن ابن الإنسان ليس له أين يسند رأسه.
Was God favorable to the Lord Jesus?
هل الله كان مهتم بالرب يسوع؟
Most certainly he was.
بكل تأكيد كان.
But if you just looked at the life of the Lord Jesus, apart from any scriptural knowledge, apart from what you know about the Bible, you would think that God was disciplining him or that God hated him.
لكن لو نظرنا لحياة الرب يسوع من غير ما يكون عندنا المعلومات بتاعة الكتاب, نفكر إن الله ما كانش بيحب الرب يسوع وكان بيعاقبه.
But you're able to see here that Jacob lacked in his spiritual experience. He didn't know the ways of God, and that's why he uttered this vow.
عشان كده في حياة يعقوب لما نشوف النذر اللي نذره انه ما كانش فاهم طرق الرب, وعشان كده قال الكلمات دي ما كانش يفهم طريق الرب.
When I first became a Christian and I read of, you know, the many what we call the heroes of faith in the scriptures.
لما بقيت مسيحي وقريت عن الرجال المشهورين في المسيحيين.
The one that I least liked was Jacob.
أكتر واحد ما حبيتهوش يمكن يعقوب.
But as I get older as a Christian, he's the one that I appreciate and I start to like the more.
لكن لما ابتدى إيماني يزيد ابتديت أحب يعقوب أكثر من أي حد تاني.
I learned that Jacob has a complex character.
يعني بشوف حياة يعقوب حياة معقدة.
Very difficult personality.
شخصيته شخصية صعبة.
One day he's going this way, the next day he's scheming.
أو مرة رايح الناحية دي ومرة رايح الناحية الثانية.
And then when the more you think about it, the more you realize that we're just like Jacob.
وعلى قد ما نبص كويس هنلاقي إن إحنا حياتنا زي حياة يعقوب.
We're not clear cut.
إحنا مش واضحين تماما.
We're not simple.
ما إحناش في بساطة.
We all have our idiosyncrasies, our different characteristics.
كلنا عندنا شخصيات مختلفة.
And we're complicated beings.
وشخصيتنا شخصية معقدة.
But who is it that knows us?
لكن مين اللي يعرفنا؟
Who is it that understands us?
مين اللي يفهمنا؟
God himself.
الله نفسه.
So this is the first pillar that he set up. The second pillar.
ده أول عمود، العمود الثاني.
The second pillar we find in chapter 31.
أصحاح 31، تكوين 31.
And it's towards the end, but we'll just read a couple of verses from verse 1. Now, so chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. And from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. And Jacob saw that the countenance of Laban was indeed not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.
فسمع كلام بني لبان قائلين أخذ يعقوب كل ما كان لأبينا ومما لأبينا صنع كل هذا المجد ونظر يعقوب وجه لبان وإذ هو ليس معه كأمس وأول من أمس وقال الرب ليعقوب ارجع إلى أرض أبائك وإلى عشيرتك فأكون معك.
The second pillar that Jacob sets up
العمود الثاني اللي أقامه يعقوب
was after 20 years.
بعد 20 سنة.
20 years of being outmaneuvered by his uncle who now has become his father-in-law Laban.
20 سنة وهو بيخدم عند لابان.
Being deceived by Laban.
ولابان بيخدعه.
He deceived him by first giving him the wife that he did not choose.
الخدعة الأولى لما اداله المرأة اللي هو مش اختارها.
He loved Rachel. He saw Rachel and he wanted to marry Rachel.
هو طبعا حب رحيل وكان عايز يتجوز رحيل.
But his father deceived him. Sorry, his father-in-law deceives him and he gives him who? Leah, the eldest first.
وطبعا عارفين انه اداله ليئة الكبيرة في السن.
Then he works 7 years for one and 7 years for Rachel. And the 7 years for Rachel, if you remember, were just like a few days to him because he loved her so.
طبعا اشتغلت 7 سنين بليئة وسبع سنين برحيل. وطبعا نفتكر انه كانت في عينيه ايام قليلة الخدمة لرحيل.
Then he works for the 6 years for the flock in which God intervened in that situation and made him wealthy.
بشتغل 6 سنين بالقطيع يعني ياخذ نصيبه من القطيع والرب دخل وبارك يعقوب.
At the end of this period the sons of Laban look at the wealth of their father. They're not thinking about their father, they're thinking about themselves.
وبعد كده طبعا ولاد لبان بصوا على الثروة وبيفكروا مش في ابوهم لكن بيفكروا في الثروة بتاعت ابوهم.
They look, our father's wealth is gone. What inheritance are we going to have?
وقالوا يعني ما بقلناش ثروة باقية ما بقلناش ميراث والحاجة راحت ليعقوب.
Then Laban no longer looks at Jacob in a favorable light. Now he looks at him like he's his worst enemy.
طبعا لبان نتيجة لكده بص عليه وحسبه كعدو.
And then after this, God intervenes in the situation and says, look, you need to now leave Jacob. You need to go back to the land of Canaan. You've spent 20 years here. You shouldn't have been here that long. You need to go back.
الرب طبعا تداخل وقال له لازم يعقوب ترحل. استمريت 20 سنة وما كانش مفروض تقعد 20 سنة هناك.
God appears once again to Jacob.
الرب ظهر ليعقوب مرة تاني.
And then Jacob, he brings Rachel and Leah together to tell them what he plans on doing.
طبعا يعقوب جمع ليئة ورحيل وقال لهم أنا بفكر هعمل كذا وكذا.
Notice in chapter 31 verse 14, then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us.
فأجابت رحيل وليئة وقالت له ألنا أيضا نصيب وميراث في بيت أبينا ألم نحسب منه أجنبيتين لأنه باعنا.
It's completely unconscionable to think how a father could sell his daughters.
ما نقدرش طبعا يعني نفكر في ازاي اب يبيع بناته.
He made his son-in-law work for them as though they were wages for 14 years. What father would do that?
اي اب يخلي جوز بناته يشتغل ليهم كل واحده سبع سنين.
And then we see here that Jacob makes a decision just to flee, to run away.
ونلاقي هنا أن يعقوب عمل خطة للهروب.
Verse 21 we read, so he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and he headed towards the mountains of Gilead.
في عدد 21 فهرب هو وكل ما كان له وقام وعبر النهر وجعل وجهه نحو جبل جلعاد.
When Laban finds out, what do you think he does?
لما لبان عرف تفتكر عمل ايه؟
He went after him. He pursued him.
طبعا ركض وراه.
It took him about 7 days. He catches up with him, and then he starts to make all these accusations.
خدت منه 7 أيام عشان يحصله وابتدى طبعا يقول له على حاجات اللي عملها يعقوب بالغلط.
And then a big part of this chapter is they're accusing each other. Laban is saying you've done this, and Jacob says you've done this.
في الأصح دوام بالله إن يعقوب بيقول لبان أنت عملت غلط كذا ولبان بيقول له لا أنت عملت الغلط ده.
So now notice what Laban says in verse 44. So same chapter, verse 44. Now therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I. And let it be a witness between you and me.
في عدد 44 فالآن اللي قالوا لبان فالآن هلما نقطع عهدا أنا وأنت فيكون شاهدا بيني وبينك.
Then verse 45. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and they made a heap and they ate there on the heap.
من عدد 45 فأخذ يعقوب حجرا وأوقفه عمودا وقال يعقوب لإخوته التقطوا حجارة فأخذوا حجارة وعملوا رجمة وأكلوا هناك على الرجمة.
Now what I didn't tell you is that when Laban was coming back he was going to hurt Jacob. But God gives a dream, appears to Laban and tells him don't speak neither good nor bad.
طبعا اللي ما قلت لكمش عليه انه لبان لما ركض ولا يعقوب كان ناوي على الشر لكن الرب ظهر وقال له لا تكلم يعقوب لا بخير ولا بشر.
Notice in verse 24 what does he say to him, don't speak good or bad.
بيقول له ما تعملش معاه لا حاجه كويسه ولا حاجه وحشه.
The reason why is because he did what Jacob did was not good. It wasn't good.
العمل طبعا يعقوب ما كانش كويس.
He had spent 20 years there trying to please his uncle Laban.
20 سنة بيحاول يرضي خاله لبان.
And neither could he speak bad to him because Laban, which was a greater, he was a greater deceiver than Jacob. Who was he to turn around and judge Jacob?
طبعا لبان يعني كان أكثر خداعا من يعقوب. وهنا بيتكلم معاه عشان يحكم عليه.
Laban then says to him, let's make a covenant, because he knew that he was leaving him, he was going back, and he wanted to make a covenant so that there would be no harm that would be brought to Laban, and Laban would bring no harm to Jacob.
نشوف طبعا ان لبان قال ليعقوب خلينا نقطع عهد علشان ما نأذيش بعض، لا انا اذيك ولا انت تأذيني.
And then the first thing that comes into Jacob's mind, he says, I'm going to set up a pillar.
أول حاجة جت في ذهن يعقوب إنه هو يبني أو يقيم عمود.
But I want you to notice, was any oil poured on this pillar?
لكن خدتوا بالكم هل في زيت اتصب على هذا العمود؟
No oil was poured on this pillar.
طبعا ما كانش في زيت على هذا العمود.
Because this was not a spiritual experience.
لأن دي ما كانتش خبرة روحية.
This was a personal experience.
لكن دي خبرة إنسانية.
What does this teach us?
ده بيعلمنا إيه؟
After 20 years of effort, in energy spent on the flesh, what did Jacob achieve?
إيه اللي حصل عليه يعقوب من خلال 20 سنة بكل المجهود اللي عمله؟
He was afraid. He was tired.
هو كان خايف، تعبان.
There was nothing that he could show for it. Even what it was that he worked for, he knew that it was God that had intervened in a situation and given it to him. But it didn't satisfy his heart.
رغم أن الرب تداخل، لكن كل اللي حصل عليه ما لم يشبع قلبه.
We know through the New Testament, there's many verses, but we read in Romans chapter 7, Paul says these words, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing dwells.
بنعرف العهد الجديد وخصوصا في روميا 7 انه لا يسكن فيا اي في جسدي اي شيء صالح.
Paul says in Philippians in chapter 3,
في فيليبي 3,
put no confidence in the flesh.
لا تتكل على الجسد.
He was Jacob and he was continuing to live in the energy of the flesh.
هنا يعقوب بيستمر في الطاقة بتاعة الجسد.
He set up this pillar and this pillar was certainly to be a covenant between him and his uncle, but it wasn't a spiritual experience. This was a personal experience.
لما حط العمود ما كانش فيها أي خبرة روحية، لكن ده كان خبرة كانت بينه وبين خاله، خبرة جسدية.
I don't know about you, but I can tell you about myself.
أنا ما أعرفش عنك حاجة، لكن أقدر أقول لك عن نفسي.
I believe God. I love God.
أنا بحب الرب. أنا بؤمن به.
But I have spent years in the energy of the flesh. In other words, I've spent years wasted away from God rather than allowing God to take control of my life.
لكني قضيت سنين معتمد على جسدي بدل ما اخلي الرب يدخل في حياتي وياخد سيطره على حياتي.
Jacob didn't do this as an unbeliever. He experienced this as a believer.
يعقوب هو بيعمل الحكاية دي مش بيعملها وهو مش مؤمن، لكن كان هو مؤمن.
That's why the Lord says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness."
عشان كده الرب بيقول اطلبوا أولا ملكوت الله وبره.
That's why the Lord Jesus says, "Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me."
عشان كده الرب بيقول احمل صليبك واتبعني.
We are so self-centered. And we forget that we are a company or a group of people that ought to be God-centered.
بننسى بنفكر في نفسنا، بنفكر في حياتنا بس، وبننسى إن إحنا أناس يجب أن يكون الرب في حياتهم.
I realize that I've run out of time. I'm not going to be able to talk about the other two pillars.
طبعاً أنا عديت الوقت ومش قادر أتكلم عن العمودين الباقيين.
But what I want to say, I'll just try and wrap it up in the next. I know it's been about 40 minutes. I'll try and wrap it up in the next 5 minutes.
في خمس دقائق حاول أقول الفكرة اللي أنا عايز أوصلها.
In all the things that Jacob experienced.
في كل الحياة اللي اختبرها يعقوب.
His daughter Dina was molested.
عارفين قصة دينا واللي حصل لها.
His two sons Levi and Simeon as a result became murderers because they tried to vindicate her molestation.
عارفين لاوي وشمعون اللي عملوه وصاروا قتلة.
He fled from the face of his brother Esau.
ما هرب من وجه أخوه عيسو.
He never returned again to be able to see his mother.
ما شافش أمه مرة تاني.
He was outmaneuvered for some 20 years and deceived by his uncle Laban.
كان بيلف حوالين نفسه لمدة 20 سنة واتخدع عن طريق خاله.
And then he had to come back and face his brother Esau when he returned to the land of his fathers, to the land of Canaan.
ولما رجع الأرض كان لازم يواجه أخوه عيسو مرة تاني.
And if you remember, he tried to buy his favor and he sent servants to go and see Esau, who was living at sea, and say to him, I'm coming back and I've become a wealthy person, please receive me.
طبعا عشان خاطر يسترضي أخوه بعت عبيد قدامه وقال له أنا أصبحت غني، لو سمحت يعني اقبلني.
And then if you remember, the next thing he hears that Esau is coming with 400 men.
أكثر حاجة كانت طبعا مخوفة أن عيسو جاي معه 400 رجل.
That's not a few people, that's an army.
ده مش عدد قليل لكن ده جيش.
He then straight away started to scheme, went in panic mode, and he split them up.
طبعا خاف وزعج وقسم العيلة بتاعته إلى جزئين.
He was left alone, and then a man came and wrestled with him.
ترك لوحده في الآخر بعد ما قسم اللي كان معاه على جيشين وجه من جه شخص وابتدى يصارعه.
He probably thought it was Esau.
يمكن كان بيفكر في الأول إنه ده ممكن يكون عيسو.
But then, as the sun started to rise in the morning, the man who was wrestling with him says, "Let me go for the day breaks."
لكن لما ابتدت تظهر الشمس الراجل اللي هو كان بيصارع معاه قال له اتركني لأن الشمس قد ظهرت.
Because he wouldn't let him go, we read how he touched the hollow of his thigh.
وعارفين القصة إنه عشان ما رضيش يسيبه أو متمسك بلمس حك فخذه.
He dislocated his hip.
وخلع حك فخذه.
And then the story changes. It goes from wrestling to clinging.
وتتغير الصورة تتغير القصة من صراع إلى cleaning.
Clinging, hanging on. He says, "Let me go for the day breaks."
Allo, سيبني اتركني عشان خاطر النهار طلع.
He was on his hip. He was grabbing on, and he wouldn't let go. And he says, "Bless me."
كان ماشي طبعا بيخمو على فخده وماسك فيه بيقول له لا سمح باركني باركني.
And the Holy Spirit was showing there Jacob that you've spent your life wrestling.
الروح القدس بيبين ليعقوب انه خد كل حياته وهو بيصارع.
Wrestling with God and wrestling with man.
بيصارع مع الله وبيصارع مع الانسان.
But the answer, Jacob, is not in wrestling.
لكن يعقوب ما كانش بيصارع.
The answer is not in wrestling but in clinging.
لكن اللي عايزه الرب مش ان احنا نصارع لكن نتمسك.
So sorry, the word is in Ruth. If you look in Ruth in chapter 1.
لو أرينا في رعوث.
I'm not sure what the word is. So you can see it in Arabic.
Yeah.
Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. And where he that they lifted up their voices and they wept again and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her.
Yeah, and عارفين إن رعوث لما تمسكت بها رعوث تمسكت بحماتها يعني مسكت فيها.
And then we read that the sun rose and Jacob continued on limping on his leg.
نرى بعد كده أن الشمس أشرقت وأن يعقوب كان يخمع على فخذه.
This prevented him from now running away from Esau.
ده طبعا يمنعه من أنه يجري من عيسو يهرب من عيسو.
When he saw Esau, what had happened?
ولما شاف عيسو إيه اللي حصل؟
They ran to each other. They both cried and wept and they hugged each other.
ركض كل واحد إلى أخيه والاثنين بكوا واحتضنوا بعضهم البعض.
He ran away from Esau when he was young, when he was about 40 years old. Then he ran away from Laban and God kept him safe. Now he had come back, done a full circle, and he faced Esau. To his worst nightmare, God was able to change that situation from one that would have cost his life to one of reconciliation.
هرب من أخوه وهرب من خاله ودلوقتي الرب يرجعه تاني دايرة كاملة يرجع عشان الرب يعالجه.
But in all these things that Jacob suffered, they didn't change him.
لكن كل الأمور اللي مر فيها يعقوب عانى منها ما غيرتهوش.
You know what changed Jacob?
عارفين اللي غير يعقوب؟
When he lost his son Joseph.
لما فقد يوسف.
We no longer hear about Jacob for about 23 years.
ما سمعناش عن يعقوب لمدة 23 سنة.
God does a deep work in the life of Jacob.
الله صنع عمل داخلي في يعقوب.
Then the next thing we hear is that his brothers come back and they tell him that Joseph is alive and he's not dead.
وبعد كده طبعا نعرف ان اخواته راحوا لابيهم وقالوا له ان يوسف ابنك حي.
Get your things ready and come. Don't even get everything. Don't worry. I've got the best of the land, the best of the flock here. Come, come back.
ما تهتمش باللي تاخده، عندي احسن ارض ليكم، تعال بسرعه.
He comes back and we see that he is a changed man.
رجع ليوسف ونشوف انه كان شخص متغير.
He's no longer one that deceives.
مش الشخص اللي بيخدع.
And the one who is called a heel catcher, a supplanter.
ولا الممسك بالعقب.
Who deceived in order to get the first blessing.
هو كان بيخدع عشان خاطر ياخد أول بركة.
He comes to Egypt and he now becomes the blesser.
جه لمصر وأصبح هو الشخص اللي بيبارك.
He blesses Pharaoh.
بارك يا بارك فرعون.
And when Pharaoh saw him and he says, "How old are you?"
ولما فرعون شافه وقال له أنت كم عمرك؟
And he says, "Few and evil have been the years of my life, and they haven't attained to the years in the life of my father."
قال إن أيام عمري لم تصل إلى أيام أبوي.
He blesses Pharaoh.
وطبعا كلها تعب وبلية. وبارك فرعون.
And the 17 years old, the 17 years in which Joseph was, which he enjoyed with his son, as it were, God gives him the remaining 17 years of his life to enjoy with Joseph.
والرب اداله 17 سنة يقعد مع يوسف ويتمتع في آخر 17 سنة من حياته.
He's no longer scheming. He's no longer tricking. He's no longer trying to come up with some way. We no longer hear about the Jacob of old.
ما نسمعش عن يعقوب في 17 سنة، يعقوب القديم اللي بيخدع اللي بيلف ويدور.
And then we turn to the New Testament in Hebrews, and you know the chapter, the one that we call the heroes or the chapter of faith.
لما بنرجع لعبرانيين 11
and we read there that Jacob while he was dying he blessed the sons of Joseph.
نقرا ان يعقوب بارك اولاد يوسف.
While he was dying he blessed the sons of Joseph and he worshiped.
وسجد على راس عصاه.
And leaning on his staff.
وسجد على رأس عصا.
At the end of his life, this is what we realize about Jacob.
في نهاية حياة يعقوب ده اللي نشوفه.
He was now a worshipper of God.
إنه إنسان بيسجد للرب.
That even as he was dying,
وهو بيموت,
he comes to bless the sons of Joseph.
جه عشان يبارك ولاد يوسف.
And how he blesses them is quite amazing because the oldest was Manasseh and the youngest was Ephraim.
طبعا البركة كانت شكلها غريب لأن الكبير كان منسّى وإفرايم الصغير.
But he turns his hands and he blesses the younger first and the older last.
لكنه عمل إيدي بالعكس وبارك الأصغر.
Joseph who's alive he gets upset and he's displeased and he goes to swap the hands of his father around.
عارفين القصة إنه يقول له ليس هكذا يا أبي وحاول يغير إيدين أبوه.
But Jacob had learned through the experiences of life.
لكن اتعلم يعقوب من خبرة الحياة.
He was humbled through the experiences of life.
تواضع من خلال خبرة الحياة.
And he says to Joseph, "No, let it be so that it is the younger that must be blessed, Ephraim above Manasseh."
وقال له لابنه لا أنا لتكن هكذا دم الصغير لازم يتبارك قبل الكبير.
And as he did this, he worshipped.
وبعد ما عمل كده سجد.
We learn from the life of Jacob that all things work together for the good.
من حياة يعقوب نعلم أن كل الأشياء تعمل معا للخير.
They work good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose.
لهؤلاء الذين يحبون الله الذين يستكون حسب مشيئته.
And finally, while he's doing this, he's leaning on his staff.
وآخر حاجة هو كان بيعتمد على عصاه.
He's no longer walking by sight.
هو مش بيمشي بنظر العينين.
He's no longer using his strength.
ولا بيستخدم قوته.
He's no longer depending upon his cunning ways and upon the mind that God has given him.
ولا بيستخدم الخداع والذهن اللي ادهوله الله.
He's now leaning upon God.
لكنه بيعتمد على الله.
He's leaning upon the promises of God.
بيعتمد على مواعيد الله.
And I think that this character Jacob, what we see at the end of his life is so beautiful because it really teaches us that God will always get his way with his children.
اللي بنشوفه في حياة يعقوب شيء جميل جدا ان الله في النهاية بيوصل اللي هو عايز يوصله لأولاده.
We see Jacob there is now a changed man. He closes his eyes finally in peace. And he tells his children to make a promise that they don't leave his bones in Egypt, but they are to carry them back to the land of promise, to the land of Canaan.
ونشوف انه لما يغلق عينيه يطلب من اولاده انهم هم يحملوا عظامه الى ارض كنعان لما الرب يخرجهم من ارض مصر.
I would say that Jacob is the most relatable character in the scriptures.
انا بشوف ان يعقوب اكثر شخصيه بتمثلنا.
One that can teach us so many valuable lessons.
اللي بتعلمنا دروس مهمه جدا.
They show to us that to God, each one of us is a trophy of grace. Each one of us is a work or an object of grace in His sight.
بتورينا إن إحنا عمل تحفة الله اللي بيعمل فيها.
God will give us spiritual experiences.
الله بدينا خبرات روحية.
God will give us personal experiences.
بدينا خبرات إنسانية.
But at the end of it all, He will turn us not into old, bitter people.
لكن في الآخر مش بيحولنا إلى ناس كبار متعبين.
But people who are so grateful that they can bless even a Pharaoh, a Gentile, a heathen.
لكن ناس ممكن تبارك حتى تبارك فرعون اللي هو أممي.
And that he would give him such foresight that he would continue the rest of his days worshiping God and leaning upon the promises of God.
وتخلينا ان احنا نفكر دائما ان احنا نعبد الرب ونتكل عليه.
May the Lord bless his word to us.
الرب يبارك كلمته لينا.